Today's daf is Baba Kama daf Mem Hey, the last full daf of the fourth parak of Maseches Baba Kama. Wow. We are holding at the Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Dalet Beis. The Mishnah is going to talk about if an owner of a shor is makdish or shechts a shor that's guilty of killing somebody before they actually ever did anything to the shor. So what is the status at that point? The Gemara is going to have two explanations of the machlokas, whether a shomer can return a shor after the Gemara did, meaning I ask you to watch my shor for me, and as you're watching it, it goes and kills someone, and there's a gemar din that it's going to get stoned, and you say, here's your shor back. So is that a proper fulfillment of returning the item that he was supposed to watch? The gemar is going to bring a brisa on the bottom of the amud about the responsibility of the dalit shomrim of shawal, shomachinim, shomachar, socher, to pay for damages and kofar, and it's going to have two possibilities of who the author of that brisa is. On Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to bring a distinction between the responsibility of the Shomer Chinam to pay for damage done by the animal and damage done to the animal, meaning someone agrees to watch a shor, that means he's agreeing to there are two elements, two potential elements to that Shemira, to protect the shor that he's watching, and to protect everyone else from the damage that shor might do. And there might be a distinction between those two elements. The Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to bring three opinions about what level of Shemira is necessary for a Mu'ad. Do you need a Shemira Mu'ula, Shemira Pechusa? What's necessary when it comes to a Mu'ad? And then at the bottom of Amud Beis, Gemara is going to discuss if an animal is a Mu'ad to gore with its right horn, is it automatically a Mu'ad to gore with its left horn as well, and vice versa. So let us begin at the Mishnah Mem Dalet Amud Beis, Zakt the Mishnah. Shor shu yotze lisakel v'kdisho b'ilavein eino muktash. If a shor goes out to is being brought out to be stoned for having killed someone, and the owner then makes it hekdish, it is not muktash, it is not a valid hakdasha of the animal. Shchato, if he shechts it at that point, b'saro aser. The meat is not kosher meat, it is aser. Rashi explains the reason the hekdish is not chal after the gemar din of the shor to get skila is because the shor already became aser bahana at the gemar din, and therefore it's no longer b'rishos habaylim. You're not the owner of it anymore once it's become aser bahana to you. The Beis Halevi in a tshuvan, chelik aleph simen mem ches ozvav, writes that you can't say that since isurei hanar are not ra'ui for any sort of hishtamshus, it's like kachim shemesu, where we say in Mi'ila, there's no Mi'ila on Kachim Shemesu, and that's why it's not Muktash. There's no I'm sorry, no, you can't say. He says the Pshat is, that's Pshat and Rashi, that since Isurei Hana are not Ra'i for any sort of Ishtamshus whatsoever, so it would have the same din as Kachim Shemesu, where the Allah is Zain Behem Mi'ila, meaning it doesn't have a din of Hekdish that you can't violate Mi'ila with it. And that's what the Mishnah means. Einu Muktash means that it doesn't have an Isra Me'ila, meaning it may be Muktash on some level that it belongs to Hegdish, but it's not subject to Me'ila. That's how the Beis Halevi understands. The Stipler in Simon Lamedos Beis says that had it not been for Rashi, he could have explained maybe differently. The reason that Hegdish is not Chal is because something that's Asa Ba'ana doesn't have any value, and therefore it's not Roy that Hegdish should be Chal. So the Chisaron is not Mitzad the Bailim, that the Shor is not in the Rishus of the Bailim. The Chisaron is because something that itself inherently has no value, you can't be makdish, because when you're makdish a kedushas damim. But if there's no damim, then there's no akdasha. So it's not your relationship to the shor that's the chisaron, that I'm not the owner, so I can't be makdish. It's the shor itself that's the chisaron, that the shor can't become hukdash. That was that's the second possibility how to explain. Rabbeinu Tam writes that the shor aniskal is not Asar Ba'ana Mechayim, it's only Lachar Misa that it becomes Asar Ba'ana. So Rabbeinu Peretz says, well, wait a second, then why is it that the Hekdesh is not Chal after the Gemar Din? It's not dead yet, so why is it that the Hekdesh is not Chal if it's not Asar Ba'ana yet? So Rabbeinu Peretz explains that since anyone would be allowed to kill the Shor is not considered Momen Ba'ilim, because it's Mufkar Lakol, since it's Rishus Biad Kaladam Lahargo, and therefore you can't be Makdashit. Says the Mishnah Vayter, V'imachalo Nigmar Dino Hikti, but if you're makdashit before the Gemar Din, hikdisho b'aylav, muktash, then it is muktash. Vim shchato b'sara mutter. And if you shecht it before the Gemar Din, then the meat is going to be mutter. The Bach writes from the Lashon, the Mishnah, it sounds like only b'dieved. if you shechted it, the bus is going to be mutter. But you're not allowed to actually shecht it because you have to bring it to Beis Din, to have a gemar din for skill. I mean, you have a shor that killed someone, you have to deal with it. You can't just shecht it, you have to bring it to Beis Din to get its proper din. And then the Bach says that in Bizman Azeh, where we don't have the ability to have a gemar din on a shor, we don't do that anymore. So then you're allowed to shecht it even the chadchila, and then you're allowed to eat its meat as well, even the chadchila. In the Tshuva Space Yaakov, he paskins that even Bizman Azeh, the chadchila, you shouldn't shecht it because you don't want to eat a shor that killed a person. You don't want to eat the real din of a shor that killed a person. It's supposed to be brought to Beis Din. Elamai, we don't have the ability to do that anymore. That's a question. Is that a mitzvah on everybody to bring the shor to Beis Din? Meaning, by shechting it, what you're doing is it's an active violation of your mitzvah to bring it to Beis Din. So that's why we would say even Bizman Azeh, don't shecht it. Okay, I know you can't bring it to Beis Din, but at least you're not doing anything to dafka make it impossible to bring it to Beis Din. When you shecht it, you're making it impossible to bring it to Beis Din. So that's a question in the Achronim. Is it a chiyuv on anybody and everybody that if there's a shor that kills someone that you have to bring it to Beis Din? Or is it Beis Din's mitzvah to find the shor and deal with it? So if it's that this would be nafkamina. If it's Beis Din's mitzvah to find the shor and deal with it, so you can shecht it, it's no problem. Bizman Azeh, you can't bring it to, it's not going to get to Beis Din anyway. But if it's your mitzvah to take care of it, so it could be that actively taking it away from the possibility of being brought to Beis Din might be problematic. Says the Mishnah further now, if someone gave his shor to any of the Dalit Shomrim before it ever gored, and then while it was in their rishus, while they were watching it, it gored, so they have to pay the same thing the owner would have to pay. Mu'ad mishalim nezek shalim, v'tam mishalim chatzi nezek. If the shor was a mu'ad, it would pay nezek shalim. If it was a tam, it would pay chatzi nezek. The Or Sameach raises the question, he's a mesupak. If a person finds an aveda and brings it home to watch over the aveda, he finds a shor on the street, so he brings it home to watch over it till he can find the owner of it. Is he chayiv to pay the nizakim that aveda does, that shor does? Do we say that he has a din of normally a shomer avedas kishomer sachar? Why? Because so that's the question. Why exactly is he kishomer sachar? And that's what it's going to depend on over here. The Or Sameach writes it's really tali in the machlokas and the gemara later on in vavim beis if the reason that a shomer aveda is considered like a shomer sachar is because he benefits from the shmira in the sense that what we call pruta de Rav Yosef, that if an ani were to come and ask for money while he's taking care of the animal that he's being shomer, he would be pater from giving that money to the poor person because he's osek b'mitzvah. So there's a monetary benefit in being the shomer aveda. Is that why he's a shomer sachar? If that's the case, he's mamish a shomer sachar and he's chayiv in the niske behema, just like the shomer sachar we mentioned in our Mishnah would be chayiv in the niske behema. Or maybe no. The Gemara over there says that maybe it's because the Torah is meshabed him bal karcho, that he has a mitzvah, he has to watch it, and the Torah is meshabed him with certain achrayos. So it's mistaver that the Torah is mechayev him to watch it lutzorich lebailin, but not to watch, meaning to the Torah is meshabed him to watch the aveda, make sure to protect the aveda, but not to protect everybody else from the aveda. It could be that's not part of the shibud of the Torah. So the Or Sameach wants to say maybe it's tali whether shomer aveda is included in this last line of the Mishnah is tali in those two understandings of a shomer aveda and why, from where shomer aveda's responsibility is derived. Says the Gemara Tan Rabban, we have a brisa. Shor shehemis ad shelo nigmar dino. If a shor kills, I'm sorry, shor shehemis. If a shor kills, ad shelo nigmar dino, mecharu machar, ekteisha muktash, shchato bas muter, hechzir shomer lebeis bailov, muktzar. If before the Gemara Din happens, someone sells it, the owner sells it, the sale is binding. If he's makdish it, the hektish is muktash, it's chal. If he shechts it, the meat's going to be mutter. If he gives it back to the owner, it's considered a proper returning of the item. That's all before the Gemara Din. But misha nigmar dino, but if it's after the Gemara Din, then eno machur, mecharo eno machur. If he tries to sell it, it is not a binding sale. Hekdesho eno muktash, shechato basar then none of that works. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, af misha nigmar din, hechzir shomer lebeis muchzer. That even after the Gemara Din, Rabbi Yaakov disagrees with the Tanna Kamma, says even after the Gemara Din, if he wants to return it to the Bailim, it's considered a proper chazara to the Bailim. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel, that someone who buys chametz on Pesach gets malchus because he violated the law of Bal Yira'ah. That he violated the law of Bal Yira'ah by buying chametz on Pesach, by acquiring chametz on Pesach. Fret the Noda B'Yehuda, Madura Kama Rechaim Simin Yotes. How could he have acquired it on Pesach? According to our Gemara, Ashar and Niskal, is Asabana, that's Asabana, there's no Mechir, Mecharo, Eino Machur. It doesn't work. The Mechira is not binding. So Chametz Pesach, also Asur Ba'ana. So how could you ever buy it? It's Asur Ba'ana, so there should be no Mechira. Very sharp question, right? So the Nadav Yehuda suggests that you have to say that only to sell it B'toras Mechira you can't do, but you're allowed a Lokeach can be Zochin it like a Zochim in a Hefker. So you can't be Makne it to someone else through a Mechira. But if it's Hefker, you have the ability to be Kona from Hefker. And that's why how someone could violate Bal Yira'ah Bal Yimatzeh in an active way on Pesach. Not just by keeping Chametz that he had before Pesach, but by actually acquiring Chametz on Pesach. The Arsameach suggests, based on a Ran in Maseches Avodah Zarah, that Avodah Zarah that's found in the hands of a guy, that the Jew is able to acquire it. Because even though it's also about Noah, since the Goy could be Mevatel the Avodah Zarah, so there's Zechia in it as well. So Chametz also, if you find the Chametz by a Goy, it's going to be Mutar B'Anah Yisrael after Pesach, therefore you're able to acquire it. Meaning since there's a way that it could be Mutar for the Jew, so the Jew has the ability to acquire it. Aye, but if he acquires it, then immediately it will become Aser to the Jew forever, because then it will become Chametz over Lev Pesach. Yeah, but that's, you know, but that's only once he acquires it. So he has the ability to acquire it, because the second before he acquires it, it has potential to be mutter for the Jew eventually. So that's the Ar Samech suggests based on the Ran. Says Gemara, Lema Baha Kamiflagi. What is this machlok is about between the Tanakama, the Rabbanan, and Rabbi Yaakov about after the Gemar Din, can you return the shor that is already seemingly Asur Ba'ana? The Rabbanan Savri, Ein Omrin B'Yisrayana, Haresh Al-Chol V'Necha. The Tanakama will say, by Yisrayana, you can't say, Haresh Al-Chol V'Necha. Here it is. I'm returning the exact item that you gave to me. It's physically exactly the same item you gave to me, even though obviously it's now got a big cloud hanging over its head and that it's Asur Ba'ana. Rabbi Yaakov Savar, Omrin B'Yisrayana, Haresh Al-Chol V'Necha. And yet Rabbi Yaakov says, sure, you could do that. You could say Haresh Al-Chol V'Necha by Yisrayana. So that's the machlokas. Tanakama says, you can't do that. You can't say it's the same item and you're just giving it back, because it's not. It's Asur Ba'ana right now. And Rabbi Yaakov would say, sure, you can. Physically, it's exactly the same item. Amar Rabbi Tekuli Alma, Omrin B'Yisrayana, Haresh Al-Chol V'Necha. Maybe really everyone agrees that normally by Yisrayana, you could say, here, it's yours, I'm giving you back your item. Dimke Niflag L'Nicham, it's Pesach. Because if that was what the argument was really about, why would they only have this argument by Ashar and Niskal? Let them have this argument by some other Isra Hana'a, like Chametz B'Pesach. Like, I gave you Chametz to watch, I gave you all my schnapps, $1,000 of schnapps, a month before Pesach, right, to watch for me. And you decide you're going to give it back to me after Pesach. So now it's Chametz Shavar Lev Pesach. So can you say Hareish Alcha Lefanecha? Here's all your Chametz. Physically it's the same exact Shnaps. You can't drink a single bit of it because it's all Chametz Shavar Lev Pesach. So that's so they could have had that argument in that case if that's what they were really arguing about. Elahacha Begomrin Dino Shel Shor Shelo B'Fanav Kamiflagi. Now that's not what the machlokas is. The machlokas over here is about whether you could have a gemar din of a shor not in front of the shor. The Rabbanan Savri Ein Gomrin Dino Shel Shor El B'Fanav, that the gemar din of the shor has to be in the presence of the shor. The Amar Le, because he can say to him, Ia Darti Ne'ali, the owner could say, if you would have returned this shor to me in a timely fashion before the gemar din, have a marakne la'agma, I would have hid it away somewhere in a swamp, and it never would have had a gemar din, and it never would have become Asur Ba'ana. Now I'm stuck, right? Now my shor is stuck in a place where there's no way that I'm going to be able to do anything. Rabbi Yaakov Savar, and Rabbi Yaakov holds, no, Gomrim Dino, Shel Shor, Shelo B'Fanav. We could have a Gemar Din of the Shor, even if it's not here. So, Damalei, Sof, Megmar of a Gamar Dino. So, the Shomer could say, it doesn't make a difference where the Shor would have been. Either way, this Gemar Din would have happened. I mean, even had I given the Shor back before the Gemar Din, there was nothing you could have done to avoid a Gemar Din. It was going to happen one way or the other, because they'll go ahead with the Gemar Din, even if the Shor is not around. So, frankly, Gemara, my time at the Rabbanan, What's the reason for the Rabban? Why do they think you can only have a Gemar Din if the Shor is there? Because Pasuk says, Hashor Yisakel, the Gamba Lav Yumas, and we've darshaned 1,000 times, Kemis HaSabaylim Kach Misa Sashor, that the killing of the Shor is patterned after the way we would kill a Bailim, the way we would kill a human being, who's Chayiv Misa. Ma Bailim Bifneim, Av Shor Bifanav. Just like a Gemar Din for a human being, who's Chayiv Misa, can only be Bifanav, so too by the Shor as well can only be Bifanav. Rabbi Yaakov would say, that's crazy. Bishlam Abaylam B'nei Taina Ninu. You know why it has to be Bifanav of a human being? The Gemar Din has to be in front of him? Because if there's any sort of excuse, any sort of reason, any sort of limud zuchus, he'll be able to say something. He'll be able to come up with a taina. No matter what happened, what, they're going to walk the Shor into the courtroom and they'll say, Mr. Shor, what do you have to say for yourself? El Shor, Bar Tanasahu. What, is the Shor going to have any sort of taina? That's ridiculous. He doesn't have any sort of taina. So a couple of things over here. First of all, Chassam Sofer in his Tshuvas, or Chaim Sim Kofei, asks, how could it be that we're Mechayev the Shomer, that having brought the Shor to Beis Din? I mean, think about what the Rabbanim are saying over here. How could you give me the Shor back after the Gemar Din? If you would have given it to me before the Gemar Din, I never would have brought it to Beis Din. I would have hid it from the Beis Din, and I would have made sure that they never saw the Shor and never would have had a Gemar Din. You're blaming the guy for doing the right thing? He's supposed to bring it to Beis Din. The Shor killed somebody. That's what you do with the Shor that killed somebody. So how could it be that for fulfilling the halacha, it's a mitzvah that everyone has to bring the Shor to Beis Din? He fulfilled that mitzvah, he fulfilled that halacha, and now you're going to say that that's what he's going to lose because of the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Kuf Mem, even before the Gemara Din. It's a mitzvah al kalechad to bring the Mechuyav and Misas Beis Din in front of the Beis Din so that Beis Din could judge them, that Beis Din could deal with it. And the Gemara is going to say later on, that someone who burns chametz shel chavero on Pesach is pater, because everyone has to destroy chametz. Chametz belongs to a Jew, should be gotten rid of. So why don't we say the same thing over here? Everyone is supposed to bring the shor to Beis Din, and therefore that should exempt the shomer from having to pay for anything like that. That's Chassam Sofer's kasha. So Chassam Sofer suggests when the Gemara Chulin says that there's a mitzvah on everyone to bring a shor shaharak to Beis Din, that's only if the shor is a shor shel hefker. And by chametz also, since it's not Birshus Bailim, everyone is Mitzuva Levaro, meaning the Gemara in Baba Kama and in Pesachim says that Chametz Lachar Sheishos and Erev Pesach is no longer considered yours. So it's no longer in the Rishus of the Bailim. So that's why you have a mitzvah to destroy it. But maybe in a Chinami, a Shor that kills, that has an owner, where there's a person that owns it, the mitzvah to give it to Beis Din is a din on the Bailim alone. Maybe it's not a mitzvah called Yisrael. And therefore the Bailim could blame the Shomer. What are you doing? Why did you have to bring it to Beis Din? That wasn't your responsibility. That's only my responsibility. And I get to choose whether I want to fulfill my mitzvahs or not. You don't get to do my mitzvahs for me. That's how the Chassam Sofer suggests. A big chiddush, that it's not a mitzvah on everyone to bring the Shor to Beis Din. The Stipler in Kilus Yaakov writes that even though midin mazik, he can't be mechayiv him, because he was mechayiv to bring it to Beis Din, but midin shomer, he's supposed to protect it, and he's not supposed to let Beis Din have it, which is a very strange distinction, meaning like practically, what's he supposed to do? How do you divide the shomer into two people? Say, oh, midin mazik, you know, you're supposed to bring it to Beis Din, but midin shomer, you're not supposed to bring it. What's he supposed to do? Is he supposed to bring it to Beis Din or not? Probably yes. So that's a difficult teretz of the Stipler. Another ha'ara, the Milchas Chinuch writes in Mitzvah Nun Aleph, Os Tezvav, that just like we're not Gomer Din Shel Shor Shelo Befanav, meaning according to the Rabbanan, you need to do Befanav Shel Shor against Rabbi Yaakov, you need it to be Befanav. Same is true that we're not Mekabel Eidos Shelo Befanav, just like you wouldn't be Mekabel Eidos Shelo Befnei the Baal Din, because remember, it's Kemisas Abayim Kach Misas Shor, which means all the halachos are parallel to each other. Rabbi Chanan, though, and Kovit Shurim, Bas Shelos Kuf Beis, says that over here the Gemara says that the Gemara Din of the Shor is Befanav based on he asks on the Gemara over here that you need a Gemara Din Befanav from the Gemara later on Kufir Beis, that we're not Mekabel Eidos when the Baal Din is a Katan, because a Katan is Ein Bodas, and even if you're Mekabel Befanav, it's considered as if you're Mekabel Eidos Shelo Befanav, because he has no das to defend himself anyway. So even if he's there, if he's physically there, it doesn't mean he's really there. It's like they talk about dementia patients sometimes. They say, was he there? He was there, but he wasn't really physically there. So katan, by definition, even if he's physically there, he's not there. It's not called befanav. So you see, the reason you need Kabbalah Seder's befanav is so that the baldin could have a taina to be machish the edim, and that's what Rashi says in Bab Basra as well in Daf Chav Ches. So by the shor, it's not shayich the whole thing. And even if the din is befanav, it should still be shalom befanav. So how could it be that there's a din that you need befanav by the shor? I mean, Rabbi Yaakov's claim that the shor is not going to say a taina anyway is not just stam. The shor is not going to say a taina anyway. It's stronger than that. Meaning the kasha is you can't have befanav. If we define befanav by a human being as being in front of a human being who can say something for himself, and even a physically present human being might be called shalom befanav, i.e. a katan, so then by a shor, if you're going to say you need befanav, it's impossible to ever have it, because his physical presence doesn't do anything. So Rav Elchanan suggests that we have to be mechalik between Kabbalah Seidus and a Gemar Din. By Kabbalah Seidus, you know, the reason you need the Baal Din there is so that he could have a Taina. And therefore, that's not Shaykh for a Shar. So against Mechas Chinuch, you don't need Kabbalah Seidus Befanav. But by a Gemar Din, it needs to be Befanav the Baal Din because of Xeris HaKasuf. That has to be Befanav. So that could apply to a Shar as well. So that's the Machlokas Mechas Chinuch and Rav Elchanan, whether the Kabbalah Seidus needs to be Befanav fun of as well, and it's what it's tali on is whether you view the Kabbalah Seidus as something that's completely connected to the ability to make a taina. So now in Rabbi Yaakov's claim, he says, what? Shor bata nasu, can the shor ever make a taina? So Tosov here points out, I mean, what's Rabbi Yaakov going to do with Kamisa Balim Kach Misa Shor? What, he just rejects that old drasha? So a little tiny Tosos toward the bottom just points out, El Shor Bar Tainu, Vafilu Darshinu Bialma Kamisa Balim Kach Misa Shor, Lahach Mil Sein Svar El Darsha. Meaning, Rabbi Yaakov agrees that there is a drasha, Kamisa Balim Kach Misa Shor, and he applies it the other thousand places we've applied in this Masechta. He just thinks that this is not a proper application of that drasha. In the Meloha Rome, in the back of the Gemara, he says that there's room to say that Rabbi Yaakov and the Chum argue in the Machlokas Tanam B'Metzia Kuftes Vav whether Darshin and Taima Dekra or not. That this maybe relates to Darshin and Taima Dekra. Because according to Rabbi Yaakov, since we're Dorish, the reason for the din, that you need a Gemar din b'fnei the Bailim, is that the Bailim will be able to give a Taina to defend themselves. So by the Shor, you don't need a Gemar din b'fanav. According to the Chamim, we're not Dorish the Tam of the Din Torah. And since the Torah says you need a Gemar din b'fnei the Bailim, I don't care what the reason is. It can't be Mechalik between Misa Bailim and Misas Hashor. But in the Rambam, you can't say that. You can't say that such a Pshar in the Rambam. Because the Lach Mishnah, you know, Chaim Malva Lova writes that the Rambam paskins like the Ma'an Yamar that Darshin and Taima Dekra, and over here it paskins like the Chum. So the Rambam would come out inconsistent. But otherwise, it's a good var, no? That it really depends on Darshin and Taima Dekra, on that broader Shas topic of Darshin and Taima Dekra. Just it's clear that the Rambam didn't learn that way. The Rambam splits the Psak. Okay, says the Gemara for them. The Mishnah said if you give it to any one of the Dalet Shomrim, then they take the place of the Bailam and they bear the responsibilities, the normal responsibilities of Muad Nezek Shalim Etam Chatzin Nezek Tar Rabbanan. So we have a Braisa and we're going to question the authorship of this Braisa. Arba Nichnasu Tachsa Bailam. Therefore, they can take the place of the Bailam. Velu Hein Shomachinim Shalom Sachar Vasocher. Hargu, tamin ne'aragin u'ptur min ha-kofer. If the shor killed and it was a short tam, it gets killed, but you don't have to pay kofer because it was only a tam. Mu'adin, if it was a mu'ad and it killed, ne'aragin, it gets killed, u'mishal min ha-kofer, and you're going to pay kofer because it was a mu'ad that killed. V'chev l'ha'chzir d'me shor l'bay l'vchutz mishom r'chinam. And they all have to give back the value of the shor, which has now since been killed, meaning the guy gave you a shor to watch, and now you're giving him back a dead shor, so you have to pay back that money, except for Shomer Chinam does not have to pay back that money. That's the Braisa. So Ami, Hey Chidami, what exactly is the case? How good of a Shmira did you do on this Shor? Eden Atre, if you watched the Shor well, Afilu Kulunami lifted, then everyone should be Potter, because it was an onus, it wasn't your fault. V'delon Atre, if you didn't watch it well, then Afilu Shomer Chinam Nechayev, then even the Shomer Chinam should be Chayev to reimburse the owner. So Ami, Achamay Eskinan, the case over here is you watched it just not all that well. Shomer Chinam kalsa lo shmiraso, hanach lo kalsa shmiraso. Shomer Chinam did as good a job as he could be expected to do because he wasn't poshea, so he watched it a little bit, but the rest of them are expected to have a higher standard of shmira. There is a discussion in the Rishonim if a Shomer Chinam has to pay the Nizik when he watches a Shmira Pchusa. Is he obligated to pay the Nizik? Meaning our discussion is he obligated to pay the original owner because the animal is going to get killed, right? What if the animal damages? Does the Shomer Chinam have to pay the Nizik when he watched it a Shmira Pchusa? Rashi understands that even though he doesn't have to pay the Dmei Hashor to the original owner, to reimburse the owner, because he did as good a Shmira as he could be expected to do, but he still has to pay Kofar to the Nizik, because Klape the Nizik, he's Chayiv to do a Shmira Me'ula. It was only wearing his hat as a Shomer that he only had to do a Shmira Pchusa. But wearing his hat as a guy who's got to make sure that something under his care doesn't kill people, so then he's got to do a better job than that, and he's going to be chayiv. So when the Bryce says chutz mishomer chinam, it's only on that din of chayiv laksu d'mei shor l'baylov, but the previous din of mishal min esakofer, that includes the shomer chinam. That's not chutz l'shomer chinam. The not all rishonim agree to that though. The Rashba holds that a shomer chinam that watches shmir b'chusa is pater from tashlumi kofer as well. There are other rishonim that say that, but shlumi nizak and nischayiv when he didn't watch that he's chayiv even in Zikin when he didn't watch Shmira Meula, right? So we have Machlokas and the Rishonim, what exactly his responsibilities are toward those who got hurt or killed from this shark. So Amri Kaman, who is the author of this price? Ik Rabbi Meir. If the author of the price is Rabbi Meir Damar Socher Kishomer Chinam Dami, who says that a socher is the same status as a Shomer Chinam, listening chutz mi Shomer Chinam v'hasocher. It shouldn't have just listed a Shomer Chinam as an exception. If a socher is the same thing as a Shomer Chinam, it should have listed socher as an exception as well. Ik Rabbi Yehuda Damar Socher Kinosi Socher Dami. And if you can assume like Rabbi Yehuda, which is what we normally assume, that a socher is the same status as a shomer sachar, nisni chutz mi shomer chinam, v'kulon b'muad p'turin min yikofer. Let it say chutz mi shomer chinam, but all of them, if they're muad, are patur when it comes to kofer. Meaning, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, a muad only needs a shmir b'chusa, so you're not going to have to pay kofer if you did a shmir b'chusa. So why doesn't the Braisa mention that? The Braisa just seems to be assuming that, yeah, of course you're paying kofer. Not if you go like Rabbi Yehuda. We're about to see Rabbi Yehuda in the next mission. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a muad only needs a shmir b'chusa, which, by the way, is counterintuitive. You think a muad would need a better shmira? Like there is a kasuv. But that's the assumption, not according to Rabbi Yehuda. So says Gemara, two possibilities of who the author could possibly be. Amar Rafuna bar Chinna Hamani Reb Lazari, Tamrein lo Shmira l'Sakin. We're assuming like Reb Lazari is going to appear in this mission in the middle of the days over here, that the only way to watch it properly is killing it. The only Shmira is with the knife. So he holds that you need a proper shmira, you need a shmira mu'ula, and therefore you're always going to pay the kofar. And as far as whether a shomer sachar, whether a socher has a din of a shomer chinam or a shomer sachar, he has a din of a shomer sachar. So that's who the Bryce is assuming like. Abaye Yomar. Abaye says, second possibility. Liolam k'Rabbi Meir. Really, the Bryce is assuming like Rabbi Meir. Ukit machlif rabba baravu avitani, socher ketze mishalim rameir omer kishomer sachar Rabbi Yehuda omer kishomer chinam. Switch around the shitos from Meir and Rabbi Yehuda in terms of who holds what, whether a socher is like a shomer chinam or a shomer sachar, and then it all fits in really well. Amar of Lazar, Masar Shor l'shomer chinam, hizik chayiv, huzak pater. You give your shard to a shomer chinam and it damages, so then he's chayiv to pay. If it gets damaged, he is pater. So Amri Hechidami, what's the case exactly? Eid kabel alei shmiros nizakav afilu huzgnami l'chayiv. If he was makabel to watch out for it, for any nizikin that it does, then even if it got damaged, you should be chayiv to pay. Because you accepted nizikin, broadly, any type of nizikin, one way or the other. If you were not mekabel watching it for nezek purposes, then afilu hizik nami liftar, then you should be patur even if it does damage. Why do we distinguish between it getting damaged and doing damage? You were mekabel nezikin broadly. You realized in advance that it was a nagchan. They said that it was a dangerous animal that could hurt other people. So probably when you were accepting to watch it, you know, if a parent asks you, watch my kid for me, but you know the kid is a vildechaya, that the kid is a... So you know what that means. You know you're going to have to be on guard when you're watching that kid. But so that you take into mind. That obviously you're going to be taking into account to watch that show, that you know that it has a track record. You never thought that the bully would get picked on. You never thought that this mu'ad was gonna be attacked by someone else, and that you were gonna have to watch it from getting damaged. So that the person was never mekabel. That kind of shmir was not mekabel. This whole idea of being mekabel to watch it from nezikin. What does that mean exactly? Does that mean that you verbally, explicitly say, I'm being mekabel achrayus of nezikin? Or is it more of an assumption that there's that goes unsaid? So the Rashi writes that it does not mean that the shomer is mekabel beferish, that I'm watching it for the sake of the nezikin. It means when you mekabel shmira, mistama, included in that is shmira, that it shouldn't get damaged and it shouldn't do damage. And he has three rayas that this is the case. One is the maskarna of the Gemara over here that says that a shor nagchad, where he's mekabel shmira bistam, we assume that it means that he's being mekabel that it shouldn't do damage, and not that that it shouldn't get damaged. So that's clearly a stam assumption. Second, the Brisa of Memhei Amud Aleph that we learned earlier says Chiyuvei Shomrim are based on the Gedarim that the Torah is Mechayev. Shomer Chinam with the Shmir Pchusa, Shomer Sachar with the Shmir Meula. And if you're Chayev in Niske Behema only because you're Mekabel, so then it should be telling you what you were Mekabel to watch it for, not based on what we normally expect of a Shomer Chinam and a Shomer Sachar. And this third rise from a Gemara we haven't hit yet, but Memchesim Beis, that if a guy says Knos Shorcha B'Chatzeri V'Ani Ashmerenu, bring your shor into my chatzer, I'll watch it. If the shor damages the Bala Chatzer, the Bala Shor doesn't have to pay. So even though he's Mekabel Shmir B'Stam, the Bailam is Pater from paying Niske Shora. So these are the three rays of the Rashba. However, the Ravid in his Hasagos, in this Kemam, Paragdal al-Achayur, and also in his Chidushim and Baba Kama, says that a Shomer that's Makabal Behem of Istam is not Chayiv to watch it, that it doesn't do damage. Our Sugi is talking about where you're Makabal in this Behema, but you just didn't say explicitly what you mean by that, whether you mean to say that you're going to watch it, that it shouldn't damage, or that it shouldn't get damaged. So if it's a Shor Nagchad, we have the right to assume what you meant is that you're going to watch it not to do damage, but not that you're going to watch it not to get damaged. So what exactly is this machlokas Rishonim about, whether you need a Kabbalah Beferish or it's an assumed Kabbalah? Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer in the Evin HaAzel suggests that according to the Rambam, the Geder of the Chiyuv of Shomer Nezakov, the Rambam sides with the Rashba, I believe, that according to, so the Magen Rish explains Rambam, that according to the Rambam, the Geder of the Chiyuv to be Shomer Nezikin is because the Behema is in your Rishos, and therefore you have a Chiyuv Klapei the Nizik. So since you're Mekabel on it to watch the Behema that it shouldn't get damaged, Mela, it's in your Rishos, also that it shouldn't do damage. Once it's in your Rishos, that it's automatic. If I'm agreeing to watch this animal that shouldn't get damaged, Mela, this animal is Bereshusi, and I have to make sure it doesn't do damage. Whereas the Ravid holds that the Behema is not considered to be in the Rishos of the Shomer. His entire chiyuv is mitzad whatever he's mechayiv himself to the bailam. So that he has to be mekabel beferish, whatever it is, he's mechayiv to the bailam. It's not that it's in his rishos. So the machlokas is really about whether we view it as if it's mamish in the rishos of the shomer by virtue of the fact that he was mekabel some level of achrayus for it. Okay, says the Mishnah. Sharu Bailav Bimoseira. If the Bailam tied up the animal with a Mosera, what is a Mosera? So first I thought it meant chains. The Me'iri says, no, it's everything, it's anything but a chain. It is a rope that's fairly easy to break. It's a Shmira Pechusa. It's not Shal Shalos Shal Barzel, which would be a Shmira Mu'ula. Vinal Befan of Karai. Or you lock the door fairly reasonably in front of the animal, shmira b'chusa, v'yatza v'hizik, and it goes out and damages. Echotam v'echad mu'ud chayiv divrei meir. Whether it's a tam or a mu'ud, your chayiv, that's what Rameir says. Rabbi Yehuda omer tam chayiv u'mu'ud pater. That a tam would be chayiv, but a mu'ud is pater from paying, making the kofar payment. V'shenemar v'lo yishmenu balav v'shamor. V'shamur huzeh. The pasuk says v'lo yishmenu bailav, that when are you chayv to pay kofar? When lo yishmenu bailav. But you were shomer, even though it was only shmir p'chusa. It's all you need to do is a shmir p'chusa. Rabbi Lazar Omer, ein lo shmira elasakin. The only shmira you can ever do is by killing it. So Rashi points out what it turns out is three shitos over here. Rameir holds a shmir p'chusa yichayv. by a mu'ula, you're pater. I mean, if you did a shmir p'chusa, you're going to be chayiv. You did a shmir mu'ula, you're going to be pater. According to Rabbi Yehuda, even a shmir p'chusa, you're going to be pater by a mu'ud. And according to Rabbi Lazar, even by a mu'ula, you did a shmir mu'ula, you're going to be chayiv, because there's no real such thing as a shmir mu'ula unless you killed it. So you're always going to be chayiv. Those are the three shitas we have in Rishonim over here. The reason the Torah is more, as we said before, more makel by a mu'ud than by a tam, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is because either Xeris HaKasuv, or the Meiri explains, because a mu'ud is Yesh L'Kol. So everyone knows to be careful about a mu'ud. And if you know that there's a dog down your block that goes around biting people, you're going to know to keep your children away from that dog. But if there's a cute little puppy that everyone always pets and whatever, you're not going to keep your children away from that dog. And then so that's why it needs a better shmir, because no one's on guard. No one themselves is on guard from it. Says Gemara, my time with Rav Meir. What is the svara for Rav Meir that shmir p'chusa is that both the tam and the mu'ud are going to be chayiv? So kasav restam shvarim lav becheskas shimur kaimi. He assumes that a regular shor is not becheskas shimur, that a person normally doesn't keep a close eye on his shor. And the Torah says that you're chayiv for damage that a tam does because you didn't do at least a shmir p'chusa. Sounds like, but you got to do a shmir p'chusa. And then the Torah says, "Tell me, shmir b'chusa is not enough. You need to do shmir m'ula. If all you did is shmir b'chusa, that's not enough." And we assume it's going to be the same din by a tam and by a mu'ud. It says negicha by both of them, so we assume it's the same din. So since the Torah tells me about shmir twice, it goes from zero to shmir b'chusa, then from shmir b'chusa to shmir m'ula, and that's what you need. If you want to get off the hook, you need to have done a shmir m'ula. Rabbi Yehuda Savar Stam Shvarim Becheskas Shimur Kaimi. That not everybody watches their shor. That's the assumption. That's the baseline. The baseline is that everyone's watching their shor a little bit. So Amar Rachman Atam Et Nesharim Dinibayu Leishmir Meula. That Atam is gonna have to pay. Why? Because Atam needs better than that. It needs a Shmira Meula. Hadar Amar Rachman Av Leishmir Anu Gavi Muad. Then it says that by a mu'ad also that it needs a shmira, that's a high level shmira, which also sounds like it needs a shmira mu'ula. Problem is, why do I need two ribuyim to tell me you need a shmira mu'ula? One by a tam, and one, if the baseline is you already need a shmira p'chusa, because the baseline is stam shvarim get a shmira p'chusa. So why does the Torah tell me by a tam that you need a shmira mu'ula, and then again by a mu'ad that you need a shmira mu'ula? Must be that this is the principle of a double riboy. A double riboy is like a double negative, where it makes a positive. A double riboy makes a miut. Miyed hakasav, the shmira mu'ula. The Torah says it. It doesn't require a shmira mu'ula dafka by a mu'ad. The chitem and negich l'tam and negich l'mu'ad hamiyed rachmanav aleishmanu lezev l'leacher. But and if you're going to tell me no, but shouldn't we link tam and mu'ad to each other like Rav Meir did? Rabbi Yehuda would say no, because the pasuk says v'lo yishmerenu. This one didn't get its proper shmira. So that's the it's dafka by a mu'ad that we have such a din that a shmir p'chusa would suffice. I v'amibayu le'lav. But don't we already need this drasha to teach us that Tosas changes the gears of Mambay Le Gufe? Meaning, don't you need it for the Riboy Achar Riboy, and not to teach me to exclude a tam from this din? Don't you need this drasha ready for the Riboy Achar Riboy? Same case, Nichtav Rachmanu Velo Yishmor. That leaves room for two drashos when it says lezeh below the acher. Tainer blazman Yaakov amar echatam echad moshe shamar shmir p'chusa pater. Whether it's a tam or mu'ad, if you watch it even a shmir p'chusa, it's pater. My time, because some like Rabbi Yehuda damar b'shmir p'chusa sagilei. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda that all you need is a shmir p'chusa by a mu'ad. And he holds like Rabbi Meir that v'yalef nikich l'tam, nikich l'muad, that you could connect tam and muad to each other, that they have the same din as each other, that you shouldn't distinguish them from each other. I mean, he doesn't hold that extra drasha of loish renu lezu v'lo l'tam. Amar Rav Ad Bar Abba, lo pat Rabbi Yehuda el tzad ha'ado'a shebo. Even when Rabbi Yehuda says that a muad is pater when it has a shmira p'chusa, that's only the second half of the muad's payment. Avotzad tamus, but the first half of the payment that it would have had to make, even if it were a tam, v'makoma omedes, that payment is still there. Meaning a mu'ad is a tam plus. So whatever the plus is, that's where a Shmira Pchusa would suffice. But as far as still being a Tam, it's still a Tam in that sense, right? It's not going to... this is a Svara, Tosla says. That the Svara is, Atum Yishum Shanas Amur Gara? Well, you think when it becomes a Amur, it's going to pay less than it had to pay before? It's going to be Pater, even from the Chati Nezik of the Shmira Pchusa? So Tosla says, well, wait a second, Vim Tomer, Hatei Nech L'chumra, this on the Memer Tzad Tamas Vim Komo, Medis Misvara, Gedapricious, how do I know to apply this din lakula as well? Meaning, we're saying now that if the tzad tamus has been mekomo medis, that first half follows dinim of tam, that the first half payment only is only migufo, and you wouldn't have a point in apotropos to collect it. Ooh, so those are some kulas. That's not a chumra. So how do we know the kulas? So it says tells us be'etzem it's a chumra. To tell me that the tzad tamus b'mekomo medes, because even if you do shmir b'chusa, you're still gonna have to pay that tzad tamus. Elamayim, once you call it a tzad tamus, so there are going to be some kulas that come along with that. But be'etzem, the din is really a chumrah. Amarav, muad l'keren yamin, ainu muad l'keren small. Unbelievable chiddush. If an animal is a muad to gore with its right horn, it's not a muad to gore with its left horn. Amri aliba deman. Who are we assuming like? If we're assuming like Rav Meir, he holds that both need a Shmira Mu'ula. Why would you have to distinguish between the Keren Smol and the Keren Yamin? You could distinguish within the Keren Yamin and say that the Keren Yamin has its Tzad that's still Tamus and it has its Tzad of Mu'ud. Samri li'olam k'Rabbi Yehuda. We're really assuming like Rabbi Yehuda. Velo sfiru le'de Ravada Barava. And he doesn't hold of what Ravada Barava said, that the tzad tamus is b'mekomo omedes. V'achi kamar, ki agavnu de mishkachas pei tzad tamus muedes. Aval mu'ud l'gamri lo mishkachas pei tzad tamus klal. Meaning he's dafka making that point, that when do you have an animal that could be a tam and a mu'ud at the same time, where it's a muad on its right horn and a tam on its left horn. That's where you could have such a thing as an animal that's a tam and a muad at the same time. But a muad the gamri, you can't say that when an animal is a muad, that its the first half of every payment it's going to make as a muad is being made kitlu it's a tam. It's dafka coming to argue in Ravad Barava, who holds that tzad tam is from the kamal medes. Interesting suffix that Tosos raises over here. Tosos isn't sure. He says, Matsina lememer, did dafka nakatafi shekeren yamin mezuman lahazagyosim yikeren shel smol. Notice the example the Gemara gave was that it was a muad for the right horn and not for the left horn, right? But muad the keren smol, kolshkin, the muad the keren yamin. Maybe if it's a muad for the left horn, it's vaday muad for the right horn. Oshama ein muad vorchad milsenakad. Or maybe not. He's not sure which way to go on that. So that is fodder for the Achronim. The Achronim work on that issue. What are the two tzadim over here? Why would the animal be a muad for the left horn and not for the right horn? And why would we say automatically that if it's a muad for the left horn, it's a muad for the right horn? We don't have time to get into it right now, but that is the discussion in the Achronim.